Welcome to The Promise. Thanks for joining us online today. If you'd like to know more about the church or supporting this ministry financially, please go to our website, thepromisesd.com. Now, please enjoy the message.
I'm not sure if you realized this when you woke up this morning, but you're actually in a battle. You're in a fight. And I don't mean with your spouse. You can't always see it. You don't remember it's always there, but the Bible is clear that we have an enemy. He once worshipped up in heaven, but because of his pride, he was cast down to the earth, and now they call him Satan. He is the deceiver of the brethren. He is the one who lies to you. He's the one who brings stress. He's the one who brings disease. He's the one who brings discouragement, and he is trying to defeat you. I know you're thinking, man, I came to church for the encouraging message. I brought a friend and everything, like, you know. I've got good news, though. Don't panic. Because the one that is trying, that you're in a fight with, this hater, this liar, he has already been defeated. Because my God is bigger, my God is stronger, and he has already won the fight. So, it's a good thing. When we fight, we don't fight for the victory, we fight from victory. Jesus already paid for it all on the cross. That's what he did. He defeated the enemy. He took all his power, and he pretty much gave the devil brain damage. Well, the Bible says that he basically crushed his skull. That's AKA brain damage for me. I mean, the devil must have brain damage because he's stupid. He does things like he tries to attack you all the time when he doesn't realize he's already defeated. I mean, that's just the height of stupidity for me. But see, God wants us to win in this fight. And a lot of times we think, well, Jesus did it all. So, like, whatever, I can totally fight from bed. I'm fine. You know, and you're like, no, I don't have to do anything. Jesus won it all. No, but that's not the case. Because he won it all, we have to fight. See, when David fought Goliath, when Goliath fell, Israel didn't go, oh, cool, he's won, we can go back. No, that's when they charged ahead and took and moved forward and conquered because the enemy had fallen. And that's what Jesus done. He took out the enemy so we could stand and fight and have the victory. So God wants us to win. He wants us to be always ready and never defeated. And the way we do that is he's given us his armor to wear. He wants us to win. And so he says, look, here's my armor. All you have to do is put it on. So Paul, we're going to read from Ephesians here in a minute. The book of Ephesians, it's under the E's in the New Testament. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Now Paul writes the book of Ephesians. It's an awesome book. If you haven't read it, go read it. Because it's all about who you are as a believer. And he's telling you, the whole first book of the Bible, I mean the whole first book of Corinthians, is he's encouraging you. He's like, you're the heir. You're a royal priesthood. You're seated with Christ. He is going on and trying to build us up to who we are in Christ. And then he gets to the end of Ephesians and he's like, now listen, this is important. I need you to know what you have to do. So let's pick up reading Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and schemes of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, notice day, not days, we only want one, that's enough. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. He mentions again, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I don't know about you, but when I read that scripture, I'm kind of like where it's like, you know, the evil forces and the dark powers and the unseen world all coming against you. I'm like, am I in a Star Wars movie? Like, seriously. I mean, if you read the Bible, like, honestly, you're kind of like, what is going on? And if you're me, I'm reading this going, why is the enemy after me? Like, why is he want little old me? What, like, you might be thinking like, why? What have I done? Well, because if you're living saved, healed, restored, free, happy, delivered, guess what? The devil doesn't like that. He wants you to go back to bondage, back to depression, back to anxiety, back to fear, back to darkness, back to sin. But God wants you to live victorious. God wants you to win this fight and live free. Amen? So, God gives us his armor. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. He just gives it to you. And it is his armor. He only asks you to put it on. And then did you see how many times he tells you? Stand. Stand. So I got some photos of, well, Christine Brown helped me get some photos of some Roman soldiers to help us kind of understand what we were looking at. So we'll put up the first picture for me. Just to kind of help you, Paul is writing to this church in Ephesus, and at that time, there was Roman soldiers everywhere. Everybody knew Roman soldiers, so it was easy for them to visualize this armor that he was talking about. Obviously, in our today's world, we don't see soldiers walking around all the time, especially not dressed like this, so it's a little harder for us to go, okay, what does this look like? So, first of all, he starts with the belt of truth. You know, Paul, he starts talking about the belt of truth. So what happens on the armor is everything would hang on this belt. Their breastplate that protected them would connect to the belt. They would have their sword, their weapons, all hanging off this belt. The same thing is true for us in the spirit world. Everything, our breastplate of righteousness, our sword, our weapon, everything we have needs to hang on something. Truth. Everything in your life needs to be held on the truth of the word. The truth of the word needs to be the final decision on everything in your life. You need to go to the Bible for every decision you make, whether it's a moral decision or a work decision or how I'm going to live decision. It all needs to be based on the Bible. You know, and we live in a time of moral relativism, which basically says that we've got people that say, well, you know, what's true for you might not be true for me. I'm sure you know this, you've experienced this, right? Where we have, but you have to decide that we only have one truth. That the Word of God is the only truth and the one truth that we live by. The Word of God is our only standard for truth. So if there's things in your life, when you read the Word of God that don't line up, you have to decide, even if you've been raised your whole life believing one way, but then you read a scripture and you're like, oh, yeah, guess what? That's what happens. That's what the Word of God does. We don't know it all, but as we read it, it reveals the truth to us, and then we have to make that conscious decision. Okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to change this to line up with the Word of God. So if you want to win and be victorious in this life, then you're going to have to put God's truth as your truth. And that is the beginning of the way that you will decide to win, to be able to stand and win in this life. The problem is the armor of God, for many of us, hangs in our theological closet. Oh, Bibles, yeah, I have three of them all on my shelf. Yeah, I have the Give app. Oh yeah, Righteous. I mean, the Bible app, not the Give app. The Bible, I have the Bible app. Yeah, I mean, righteousness, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, know about that. Peace, yep, all in there, yep. See, you can know about something, but you're not living conscious of it. You know it exists, but your life, you're not living conscious of them. See, on the cross, Jesus paid for your righteousness. He made you righteous. And God tells you to wear his breastplate of righteousness. But there's one thing about having something in your closet, and then there's a difference about actually putting it on and wearing it. See, you need to live with the awareness of righteousness. See how that word awareness has wear in it? Awareness. I know, right? I didn't even mean that. But I just figured it out. So you need to live with the awareness of righteousness. You need to wear his righteousness. Righteousness actually means as if I had never sinned. That's what it means. Let's be honest. Who of us here are walking around like me? No, never sinned. Don't know what you're talking about. Nope, never sinned. Good as new. No, we don't, right? Because maybe you did drugs or cheated in business or lost your virginity or fell in some way. So you feel damaged, worthless, failed out, used up, no good. And those are the names you've given yourself. See, God didn't give you those names. The enemy gave you those names. The enemy says you're damaged, you're used up, you're worthless, you're no good. And you've adopted those names as yourself. But God never called you that. My Bible says that God calls you the righteousness of God. When you gave your life to Jesus and you got saved, he didn't put a band-aid over who you used to be. He made a whole new you. The person that committed those sins is gone. It's a new you. You are as if you had never sinned. And even if you've been a Christian for a while and you're like, you don't understand, I've fallen, I've made those mistakes after I was a Christian. Guess what? The blood of Jesus, God says when you repent, which means to turn from those ways and not do them again, God says he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. So again, you're walking around like, yep, me, nope, never sinned. Don't know what you're talking about. That's what it means to wear his righteousness, because when God looks at you, he sees his son, Jesus. So when those little things that come try and attack you, you have to say, no, 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 you don't understand, devil. I'm the righteousness of God. Let's look at the next picture with that shiny breastplate. I want to give you an idea of what the breastplate looks like. You'll notice that the breastplate was meant to protect the heart. Because we all know this, that if a sword was to penetrate to go through their heart, the fight would be over, right? End of story, done deal. So that is what the breastplate does. The breastplate of righteousness does the same thing for us. God knows how important your heart is. The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And if you've ever been betrayed or hurt really badly, your heart is wounded. You feel as if the life of you is draining out. God says, protect your heart with his righteousness. So when the enemy comes with his attacks of shame, his attacks of regret, his attacks of anxiety into your heart, you're like, no, 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 no. I have the righteousness of God. I have his righteousness, and I choose to wear his righteousness and to live as if I have never sinned. And that's what you say back when those attacks come for your heart. And that's the beginning of living always ready and never defeated. Move on next to the helmet of salvation. It's there to protect the brain. It's there to protect the mind, right? And the problem is the mind is a very powerful thing. The helmet is supposed to protect your mind and your thoughts. The Bible is clear that we're supposed to renew our minds so that we think like God thinks, so we can understand what he says. And as we read the mind, as we read the Bible, it changes our thoughts. It changes the way we think to align with how God thinks. So whatever thoughts you're dealing with that are coming at you, that are telling you you're not good enough, you're never going to make it. Oh, this thing is going to take you down. You're not going to get back up after this. There's no way God's got a good future for you. You've just messed up too many times. You actually have to brainwash your mind with the truth. That's what you have to do. See, Philippians 4 verse 13 says, we'll put that up. Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that is the truth. But see, the presence of the truth doesn't change you. It's the application of the truth that changes you. Meaning you can look at a bottle of Advil all day long, but until you take the Advil, it's not going to help you. You can see the scripture, oh, Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can know that truth is there, but until you apply it in your life, it's not going to help you. So when those thoughts come to your head that says, you're not going to make it, you can't do this, you're never going to get out, God doesn't have any plans for you, you say, stop. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what you do. You wear that helmet of salvation, protecting your thoughts, guarding your mind, and you say, no, I'm not going to let those thoughts in. I'm going to choose to believe the truth and let the truth change my thinking. There was a study done a while back where they took a group of millionaires and they took a group of homeless people, and they took all the money from the millionaires and gave it to the homeless people. They told the millionaires that they are not allowed to go back to their old business, and they're not allowed to go back to any of their old contacts. And in a few years' time, they came back, and guess what had happened? The millionaires were millionaires once again, all very wealthy. The homeless people were not only all homeless, but some of them were even worse off than before. Some of them were on suicide watch. What the study revealed was that millionaire is a state of mind, not a state of finances. And the homeless people, even though it started out as a lack of finances, it soon became a struggle in their mind. And it didn't matter what resources they were given or what money they were given or what opportunities they were given. They resorted back to being homeless because the problem all along was now in their mind. See, their struggle became a stronghold. And they allowed an issue to become their identity. What issue in your life have you allowed to become your identity? See, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he knew this already 2,000 years ago. He told us in the book of Romans, he says that our lives are transformed by the renewing of our minds. But see, for most of us, we live opposite to this. We believe that when our life changes, then our thinking will change. We're like, well, when all this changes, when my circumstances change, then I'll be happy. When this changes, I'll have peace. When this and this changes, I'll walk in joy. I'll have strength. No. See, and this is what we do is we actually blame everything. We blame our circumstances. We blame our parents, our upbringing. We blame our spouse. We blame our lack of talents and gifts on our state of emotional well-being. But God says it's the opposite. God says, change your thinking and watch your life around you be transformed. See, because when you read the Bible says you are the light of the world. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You are called. You are anointed. You are healed. And that's what we have to accept. We have to read what the word says and then put it on and protect our thoughts. And this is the way you'll start to stand always ready and never defeated. Let's look back at that fighting soldier for me. So you can see, you can kind of get a good idea of his shield there. Those shields were pretty big in those days. And the next piece of armor that we move on to in the Word of God is the shield of faith. Everybody say, God is my shield. We talk about faith a lot here at church. But beware that faith in and of itself or by itself has no power. Your faith needs to be founded in God. That is where your faith needs to be. Faith in God is my shield. Back in the book of Genesis, back in the very beginning, God is talking to Abraham and he wants to make a point from the very first book of the Bible. If we read in Genesis, if we'll put that scripture up, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. Watch this. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. God wanted us to know from the very beginning that he is our shield. He is saying, look, I'm your shield. I'm your protector. I'm your good father. If they're going to get to you, they're going to have to come through me because I am your shield. But guess what? God can't do anything until you put your faith in him. He wants to be your shield, but until you put your faith in him, he can't do anything. And the enemy is constantly throwing arrows at you. He's throwing arrows at your identity, arrows at your calling, arrows at your marriage, arrows at your health. And the thing is, God has given us a shield to stop those arrows coming at us. And he is our shield. Those shields that the Romans used back then were actually pretty huge. They were pretty large. You could almost actually fit like two people behind them if you needed to. I mean, that's kind of how big they were. And the shield basically, if they needed to duck down, would cover them from head to toe. Translation, God doesn't want any part of you exposed to the schemes of Satan. He wants all of you protected from the wicked one. In Psalms, see what he says in Psalms chapter 84, verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's the kind of God we serve. He is your sun. He is your shield. He wants to protect you. And if you're serving him, if you're loving him, good. He says, no good thing will he withhold from you. That's the kind of God we serve, but you can trust him. You have to learn to put your faith in him. You can trust him. He is not a man that he should lie. He will not let you down. He will not fail you. He is your shield. So take up your shield and be always ready and never defeated. Everything we've talked about so far has been defensive armor. But the last thing that he talks about there is the sword of the Spirit. He arms us with the sword, which is basically, if you don't know what the sword of the Spirit is, it's the word of God. He gives us the word of God, and he gives it to us so we can stand against the enemy's lies. Everything that the enemy has thrown at you, from your heart to your mind to your body, it's all lies. And God's word is the indispensable weapon that you need to fight back with. See, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, what did he do? He spoke his father's words into the situation with authority and power. Aren't we supposed to imitate Jesus? If Jesus used his own father's words to fight the enemy, then so should we. God has given us the authority to use his words. He says, look, you're my ambassadors. Here's my words. Use them. Each word Jesus spoke to Satan in that time was like a sword blow to his head. And that's the power we have when we speak God's word. Speaking God's words back to him, think about that for a minute. When you speak God's word back to him, it's his word that you're saying out loud. You're speaking truth. You're speaking truth. And, you know, I find that when I read God's word, it reminds me that God knows and understands what I'm going through. Jesus walked this earth. He's not a God who doesn't know our problems. He's not a God who doesn't understand. He knows and he understands. But guess what? He's given you a way to overcome it. That's the God we serve. When I read this word and we speak it out loud over our circumstances, it builds our faith and our trust in God. And at the same time, it guards your heart and it focuses your mind back on him. Notice how that sword is not only defeating the enemy, but at the same time encouraging all of your armor to stay connected. Puts that breastplate back in place. Puts that helmet back in place. Puts everything back in place that sword does as you speak those scriptures. You have to begin to speak the scriptures over your life out loud. That's where the power is. So when you read the scriptures and it says, by his stripes, I'm healed. Well, then you say, thank you, Lord. Your word says, by your stripes, I'm healed. So body, come in line with the word of God in the name of Jesus. God, your word says that if I give, it's given back unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will men pour into my bosom. So Father God, thank you for your scriptures. And because I've given, I believe it is given back to me that all my needs are met. That more, God, that I have more than enough so that I can be a giver and a sower into your kingdom. Because it's not all about me, God. It's about reaching the unreachable. Father God, I thank you that your word says that you go before me, that you make my path straight. Let you shine favor on me. I believe I have favor at work. I have favor with my boss. Father, I believe that you bring the lost and the unsaved and the hurting to me, Father, because I am the light and I am the salt of the world. And I will walk in my calling. Father, I thank you that I will fulfill the good works that you have planned for me. That the enemy will not hold me back. That I refuse to succumb to those thoughts he puts in my head of negativity, of insecurity. That I will rise above and be who you've called me to be. See how quickly those thoughts leave you. Everybody gets attacked, folks. Everybody, every one of us. Just yesterday, I'm driving my car and the thoughts come in my head of, oh, here they come, the insecurity, the negativity. Like, what are you going to say? You just think because a person's a preacher or whatever that they don't get the attacks. The same ones you get, we get. And what I had to do, I had to use my own sermon in the car and be like, wait a minute, helmet of salvation right now. And I was like, let's put this in perspective. And I was like, nope, this is not what we're doing right now. Like, and I had to take authority. I recognize, stop, and speak the word of God. You speak the word of God in seconds, that thought is gone. Because the enemy can't stand, folks. He can't stand in the presence when your word is spoken, when Jesus, it's God's word that you're speaking. It's not just some positive confession over your life, or it's words of affirmation. No, it's the power. If you understood that the power of God's word, what it does to the enemy. Remember, all Jesus did to defeat Satan was he spoke God's word. So one last thing about the armor of God. And that is, you'll notice that there is no armor for your backside. Because God never expected you to run away or lay down or not get out of bed. He expects you to get up, stand up, and fight. And he has fully equipped you to do so. He has given you all the armor you need. He's fully equipped you. He is not expecting you just to lay down. He expects you to stand. And guess what? He's expecting you to win and be victorious. Because that is how he has equipped you. So when you put on the full armor of God, know that you will be always ready and never defeated. Say always ready. Never defeated. And the victory is mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.